Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Hour three of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show is underway right now. I'm Buck, he's Clay, and with us as well, we are a trio for the moment here with our friend Jesse Kelly, host of the Jesse Kelly Show in national syndication by Premier Networks from 6 to 9 Eastern. Mr. Kelly from down in Texas, great to have you, sir.
Oh, it's so good to be here and watch the country descend into more COVID madness. I couldn't be more excited.
I got to tell you, Jesse, you know, we were talking before you came on about how the first time I ever had Clay on my radio show, when Clay was doing a show on sports and I was focused on politics, I had Clay Travis on before we'd even met each other because I saw this guy's takes on masks and just the COVID stuff at the very beginning. I'm like, okay, so somebody else gets it. You were right there along with us with the, you don't lock down your country, you don't impose these mask mandates, you don't do all these things. But I got to say, are you a little surprised at how absurd it's gotten now? I mean, I feel like this has gone to a level that would have been hard to anticipate, even for those of us who were pretty skeptical of it from the very beginning.
Yes and no. I guess it's probably the best way I could say that. I'm shocked at the little minutiae, how absurd it is. But I always knew they were never going to let this go, guys. I mean, they were never going to let this go. People have to understand, set aside coronavirus and masks and vaccines and all this other stuff. These people, these politicians, they're all lifelong dorks. And I'm not trying to be mean. They really are. They're lifelong dorks. They've never kissed a girl until they got into office. They've never had fun. They've never done anything with of any significance at all. And so you take these lifelong dorks and you hand them all this power. They're never going to wake up one day and say, I'm tired of all this power. They get off on this. These are the guys we all stuffed into lockers in high school. They love this. This is their revenge.
Jesse, even for the craziness that is out there, the Surgeon General, I don't know if you saw this, the Surgeon General said vaccinated parents should be wearing masks inside of their house if they want to be the safest they can possibly be. What would you think if you walked into a home, there were vaccinated people there, like you were, I would turn around and just take my kids and walk right back out. You know, like every now and then your kids have a play date or whatever. And like, I would walk in, I'd be like, this feels like a horror film of some sort. Like, I can't leave my kids here if these two random parents are vaccinated, sitting in their houses with masks on, trying to protect themselves from their kids. I mean, this is just like you start to think about what it actually looks like. This is pure madness that the Surgeon General would be saying this.
It is madness, Clay. And what's wild is, like, because I've seen this. I've actually been in that situation you described. It wasn't in someone's home, but we were meeting a bunch of kids going out to play. They were at an arcade, and one family showed up, and all the kids are double-masked and everything. And I just sat there with my jaw hanging open thinking, man, do you not read at all? Do you not know that kids are not at danger for this thing? But the truth is, I'm probably being too harsh on everyone because we can't trust our Surgeon General. We can't trust the CDC, but people still do. Just because, you know, Clay and Buck are out here trying to wake people up every day, most people still believe things the Surgeon General says, and you really want to live in a country where you can believe the things the Surgeon General says. Unfortunately, we don't. I mean, I don't trust the CDC. I don't trust any of them. We don't. But people want to believe when their Surgeon General is speaking, he's coming from some high place of medical knowledge, when really, the guy's an idiot.
We're speaking to Jesse Kelly, host of the Jesse Kelly Show on 200-plus stations across the country with Premier Network, 6 to 9 Eastern. Jesse, gotta tell you, man, it seems to me that there's an opening here for the doctors who have been honestly just coerced into silence. I've spoken to a number of doctors that I just know personally who, for example, on the natural immunity thing, they're just pulling their hair out. But they're like, if I go on TV, if I go public with this, my, you know, all doctors now, it feels like, not all of them, but a lot of them are associated with a hospital system or, you know, they're part of a larger practice. And they're just scared of honestly having their careers ruined or blackballed. Do you think that now we could be at a place where we could have the doctors who know that this is crazy start to come forward? Because I feel like that might help. Because right now, the only people you see on TV are Walensky and Fauci and Don Lemon. It's not a high-powered group here.
Well, yes, I do think we'll have more coming forward, Buck, but how are they going to come forward? Who's going to interview them? Yeah, they'll be on Clay and Buck show. They'll be on my show. Maybe they'll be on some cable news show at night. Maybe they'll bury them at midnight somewhere. The problem isn't there that people aren't willing to come out and say this is wrong. I am a doctor. I know what I'm talking about. The problem is as soon as people do that, they're banned off social media. We had doctors first thing coming out saying these lockdowns are insane. They're doing more harm than good. Boom, YouTube video gone, Twitter account gone, like the person never exists and Thanos snapped his fingers. That's the problem. The system has so much control and they're so invested in fear-mongering, you can't get honest information.
Where do we go from here? I think that's the question. Buck just mentioned, you and I and Buck, we've been on this team reality, team anti-apocalypse for over a year now. And also, we're trying to be honest with all of our audience out there and say, and it pains me to say this, but we've been saying, hey, this is coming, right? And I don't think it's going to stop here. I think the possibility of lockdowns certainly out there. There's reports that the White House is already working on a lockdown plan. How does this end, right? Like, how do we leave COVID behind in your mind? And I know our audience has, but we have to fight. It's almost like to open the minds of the sheep that are out there. How does this end?
Noncompliance. There is no other way it ends besides noncompliance. And I hate saying that because I understand this is like the biggest radio show in the country. And I'm telling the biggest radio audience in the country, disobey the rules. But there is no other way this ends. These people are never going to get tired of this. Remember, coronavirus is the greatest thing that ever happened to Dr. Fauci. It's the reason Joe Biden's president. These people love coronavirus. They don't hate it. They love it. So as long as you keep obeying the rules they hand you, they're going to keep handing them to you. And there's no other way. People are waking up slowly but surely. It's just that it takes so long. But until people en masse stop complying, this thing will never end. 20 years from now, we'll still have the Zulu variant of coronavirus, I guarantee.
Jesse, you know, you mentioned Biden. I have to say today there's more information about inflation and the striking thing for me this 6 months, 7 months into the Biden presidency is that people are waking up to the crisis at the border, the crime crisis in cities across the country after the BLM movement, you know, got finished with us. And now inflation turns out when you spend trillions of dollars, pay people to stay home, send money around everywhere. These are all obviously destructive things that are going to have bad outcomes. And it feels like we're just catching on to it now. Do you think that the pitch becomes, and when I say catching on to it, the American people are seeing the obvious reality in front of them. It's not just you, me, Clay, others saying this is going to happen. It has happened or is happening. So is COVID then just COVID and the insurrection becomes the entire Democrat narrative of why they still need to be in charge?
Oh, of course, and it has to be because their policies are so unpopular. And yes, I'm a right-wing hack. I don't pretend to be, you know, down the middle. I'm not a journalist. I'm as far right as you can possibly get. But Democrat policies as they stand right now are extremely unpopular. Joe Biden's approval ratings have been in free fall. They're now below 5%. They were up at 25% like 4 months ago. Everybody hates Kamala Harris except for the guy she's currently dating. That's just the way this administration is. It's not a popular administration, so you have to dangle some distraction in front of everyone. Yeah, everything we do sucks, but Republicans will kill you. They'll kill you. That's what they're all going to run on.
Jesse, let's have some fun. But Buck and I were just talking about this. I know you got kids. What's the best superhero movie? Well, how would you analyze? Buck's not a Marvel guy, which is a really big failure of his moviedom.
Fair.
But which of the movies out there do you like the most? Which of your kids been the most obsessed with?
I always loved Captain America for obvious reasons. I thought the Captain America movies were the best made, and they were always my favorite. But try as I might, my kids adore Black Panther. Now, I love the Black Panther movie, too. I thought it was really good. But I didn't think it came close to Captain America, but they love Black Panther. They have Black Panther heads and gloves and uniforms. They think it's the greatest thing in the world.
Wow.
Have they seen Blade?
No, I've actually had this talk with the wife on whether I can show them Blade. I remember there being a nudity.
It's a little bit violent.
Blade is 18. Blade is 18 and up. It's an 18 plus.
How old are your kids, Jesse? How old are your kids?
Kids, My kids are 10 and 12, and my 12-year-old, I can tell things are changing, and I'm worried he might enjoy Blade for other reasons than carving up vampires.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Yeah,
girls are starting to get noticed.
Yeah.
I'll say this, Jesse, you'll appreciate this, and you'll like it, too, and a lot of listeners will know this moment, too. I was at the beach with my 10-year-old this summer, and all he wants to do is throw football. Doesn't matter where we are, doesn't matter what's going on, he wants to throw football. And he doesn't notice anything else that's going on around him. And so we were throwing football, and he almost ran into a collection of college girls. They were all gorgeous, right? Like, and all he cared about was laying out to catch the football. He didn't even notice them. And afterwards, I went over to my wife, and I was like, he's a couple of years away from the only reason he's going to want to throw football is so the girls will notice him. But he was ready to take out the entire sorority to catch that ball on the beach, and he didn't even care who was in the way.
He's a couple years away from doing that trick we've all pulled some form of, which is accidentally throwing the football over there. Oh, sorry,
into the
lady,
girls.
My bad.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
It's like fishing. You got to throw the lure out there. That's how it goes. Jesse Kelly,
right,
everybody.
I just love that.
Check out the Jesse Kelly Show, 6 to 9 Eastern, all across the U.S., 200-plus stations. Mr. Jesse, have a great weekend. Barbecue up some stuff. Say hi to the wife and the kids.
Be good, boys.
All right, we got calls here for folks. We want to take some more of those. 800-282-2882. It's open line Friday. Light them up. Plus, if you tweet something really funny at Clay or me, we'll try to get that in on the air, too. We did get a little bit of heat, Clay, for our... I rooted openly. Were you with me on rooting for Team Sweden against the women's soccer team?
I can't quite make myself root against America, even though I find many of the opinions shared by the U.S. women's soccer team to be detestable. I still got to support the USA, but you rooted for Sweden. And then this morning when I woke up, in Vegas, I saw that some of the blue check bros were calling us out because the U.S. women won in the shootout.
Yeah,
for being disappointed, which I thought was really, really funny.
Neil, I root for Sweden. That's all I got to say on that one. But we'll come back in and hear some more of your thoughts, everybody, and just kind of lean into the weekend a little bit, get ready for everybody to take some downtime and all the rest of it. But, you know, Clay, if you own a home, you got to have Home Title Lock, because the FBI says home title fraud is one of the fastest growing crimes out there. That's why, guess what? I have Home Title Lock on the homes that I own. Clay's got it now on his home. And the title documents to all homes are stored in the cloud, which is not smart, but that's the way it is, because a cyber thief can find it, forge your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home to him. Then the nightmare starts. Collection calls demanding payment on home loans you never took out. Then some lender you never heard of serves you an eviction notice. But Clay, we're protected. We want others to get protected too.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost very much. In fact, just pennies a day, Home Title Lock will secure your home's title and back it with $1 million guarantee. Register your address now to see if you're already a victim, and you'll get 30 days free when you call 800-708-LOCK. That is 800-708-LOCK, 800-708-LOCK. See website for guarantee and detail. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are rolling through the Friday edition. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us, trying as hard as we can to be the most sane radio show in the country. Maybe the most sane media outlet in the country. When everybody else loses their mind, we're trying to maintain reasonableness and sanity and look at the facts. We're going to close out the final half hour talking a little bit about some more of the data. But I'm out in Vegas right now. We're speaking of insane. They have reinstituted the mask mandate, which, by the way, doesn't fit at all the Vegas sort of overall overarching theme, which is you come to Vegas to make ridiculous decisions that typically are not healthy. And so the idea of the first thing you see when you walk into a casino or a hotel is a big sign that says we now have a mask mandate. It just is such an incongruous pairing. You know what I'm talking about, Buck?
I mean, like, you're there, you're drinking your fifth scotch at 4 o'clock in the morning, gambling away the mortgage payment with a cigarette in each hand, and they want you to wear a mask? Really? Okay.
I don't know if you, I love to gamble, right? Like, I would really, what I really like is just sitting at a blackjack table, surrounded by friends, being able to watch their hands, try to win some money. But I don't know how many other people have spouses like this. My wife is not a big gambler, right? Not as much of a risk taker as I am when it comes to, and it's not like I'm, you know, I'm not Michael Jordan here playing, you know, multi-$1,000 hands or Charles Barkley or anything like that. But my wife will not play. But she will stand behind me where she can see my cards and see the dealer's cards and question every decision that I make, right? Like over my ear, in my ear, just chirping. And I guess that on some level, some people want to find a spouse who is like a yes or no man, you know, like they yes man, right? Yes woman. They're going to agree with everything that you say. My wife has never agreed with any decision that I have made in 17 years of marriage, and it still carries forward, Buck, at the blackjack. You know, like if I've got 16 and the dealer's got whatever, and I'm deciding, you know, really the toughest call is, do you hit on 16 or not, dealer in a Vegas casino? Whatever choice I make, my wife disagrees with it. It's not like she's counting
cards.
Like
clear
the
throat,
she's not a mathematical genius.
No. You know, like, what is she?
No, she's right in my ear, making it clear. Like, the whole table, she's like, I don't know why you're doing that. I don't know. And she, it doesn't matter what choice I make. And there's a lot of married men out there that are going to know this. Like, I sometimes try to make choices. This is not at the blackjack table. But I sometimes try to make choices as a married man, thinking as if I'm a woman, like for the kids, for instance. Kids come in to me with a question. I oftentimes will make a choice in parenting that is designed not to be what I would decide on a situation, but try to forecast what she would say. And I often still get that wrong. It's like it doesn't matter what choice I make. I'm going to end up on the wrong side.
Do you ever pull the, well, sons, your mother would say the following, but since we're talking about throwing the football around here, you know, like, are you guys always united front? Is there good cop, bad cop? How does that go?
The boys come to me with questions, and ultimately they know they only get an answer from me if mom's not in the house, because whatever question they have for me, they know that mom ultimately makes the choices in the house.
She's the benevolent dictator of the Travis family. This is how it has to be.
I'm the lowest rung. I've talked about this. I am the lowest rung on the power structure inside of the Travis household, okay? My wife is number one. She is the benevolent dictator. My youngest son is number two. Middle son, number three. Oldest son, number four. As you age, you get less power as a male in my house. Then you have the cats, which we have pictures up of clayandbuck.com. The fact that we have two cats is entirely a function of how little power I have. They are both more popular than me. And then I am squarely in the seventh position of power in the Travis household. You at least live by yourself right now. You are the apex predator of the Buck Sexton apartment in New York City.
I am the alpha and the omega of all 600 square feet, baby. That's right.
Is that how small your apartment is?
Wow. Yes. I like that Clay's face. Literally, he was like, my God, yes. It's like 630-ish, you know? 630.
Oh,
I know people are telling me I got to move to Florida or Oklahoma or somewhere, get some space here.
When you come to Nashville and see my house, you're going to be like, oh my God, I got to get away, because I bet it's cheaper almost than what you've got. But as we roll into the final half hour, Tunnel to Towers is helping us keep our commitment to never forget. This year, they're honoring Gold Star fallen first responder families with young kids and catastrophically injured veterans and first responders. 200 mortgage-free homes. How do you take care of them? Do good and help America to never forget. Listen to me closely. You can donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. And their chairman and CEO, Frank Siller, as we get close to the 20th anniversary, he's walking nearly 500 miles. He is doing incredible work. Honor him at T, the number 2T.org.
Getting ready to get toward the last part of the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. It flies by, and then I start to get sad when I realize that we're not going to have time with you again until Monday, but at least we're making the best use of the time we have left here. This is Buck. I'm here with Clay. And we were just talking about this in the break. I mean, first of all, you know, I was hoping that Clay was going to say something absurd about the best superhero movie so that I could start a fight with him over it. But unfortunately, his superhero game is pretty strong. Interesting enough, Jesse Kelly came in with his kids loving Black Panther as their all-time favorite. And the Captain America character is fantastic. I didn't think the movie was that good. I
thought Captain America Winter Soldier was pretty fantastic. But I don't find the Captain America storyline as compelling. And maybe this is just me growing up. Like, I liked Batman. I liked Spider-Man. Like, I don't know if you bought comics, but back in the day, I would go read comics. And, you know, that was exciting when you got to go in. And you mentioned the original Batman, which kind of brought back superhero movies post to the Superman. But, like, the late 80s when that started to take off. And now, as a parent, the amount of time we spend watching the Marvel movies, I'm partial to Iron Man as the best of the sort of secondary characters that they brought up. And like I said, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are phenomenal.
I do have to throw a flag, though, because the original Batman would have been Adam West with all of his tights-wearing glory back in the day.
Wham! Bam! Like the all the different things on the screen.
Yeah, those things hold. You know, it was so silly that it actually holds up reasonably well. But no, I'm with you on the Winter Soldier. I think was a much better one. I actually used to buy the X-Men comics growing up. I was really into the X-Men. I just thought the X-Men movies were not particularly well executed. Got a little preachy, got a little annoying, and there were too many of them. So, but look, I'm hard to please. You know what I did watch last night, and I'll just throw this out there because it's on HBO right now for anybody who has that. Hacksaw Ridge, which is one of, I almost put that in top 10 war movies for me all time. I watched Hacksaw Ridge last night.
I've never seen it.
That's madness. That is crazy, Clay.
There are a lot of movies that I still have not caught up with. So I watched everything when I was a kid growing up. I saw everything that came out, you know, in my wheelhouse age. And then I tried to catch up with a lot of classic movies. But then I had three kids, and for about a decade, I missed everything, right? So I'm still trying to catch up with, like, people tell me these John Wick movies are really entertaining. That was during my era of being, like, locked into parenting, where the only movies I saw were, like, Pixar films, and then I had no time otherwise. And my kids are just getting old enough now, where my wife and I were talking about this last night, late dinner in Vegas. We're like, hey, we can now, like, do things because our kids are in school all day. Like, they're kind of becoming real people, and we don't have to watch them every second of every day.
The John Wick movies are quite entertaining for what they are. I'm a Keanu Reeves. I celebrate his whole catalog.
The Matrix is amazing.
The Matrix, the first one, top 10 action movies of all time, in my opinion. But I even, Point Break, for what it is, I actually tried to convince a friend to meet me. You know what, Clay? We might have to go. There is a Point Break bar here in Midtown, a real place.
Oh, really?
Yes, based on the actual movie, you know, theme. And we could go there and, you know, pour out some Budweiser's for Special Agent Johnny Utah. So one of the great 90s ridiculous cop becomes a surfer movies. That's something.
Patrick Swayze had a run there, man. Dirty Dancing, a Ghost.
The fact that you haven't gone to Roadhouse, that's so funny. Because you're married, your mind goes to Dirty Dancing and Ghost. Because I'm the single dog running around here, my mind goes to Roadhouse right away. Because that's,
I mean, those are very romantic movies that I may or may not have watched several different times. I mean, and nobody's going to put Baby in the Corner. Jennifer Grey, back in the day, every girl wanted to be the, I think, Baby, right? Whatever her name was in the Dirty Dancing movie.
Now is where we also tell you not to get caught up in all of this. We were planning to tell you about like
easy
COVID.
Easy transition.
Not to get into panic.
Easy transition.
Stuff. Yeah, but now is where we tell you guys, just everyone out there, if you're listening to this, you're already sane enough that, you know, you don't need to be told to take a deep breath about all this stuff. But I really think that one of the best things you can do at this stage of the game, given how just there's so much craziness out there right now. I mean, it's basically August. People should be thinking about vacation time with family, friends, kids, or whatever. All this panic porn, COVID, Delta stuff that they're talking about. You know, there are people out there who are trying to keep it real and keep it all in perspective. We've mentioned before Rand Paul on this one. And here we just want to remind everybody, here's Rand Paul on, yes, it's more transmissible, but you're going to be okay.
Right now, they're going back to masks, saying it's the Delta variant. Well, there's one large study out of England from Public Health England, 92,000 patients. And do you know how many people died in the vaccinated wing of this under age 50? Zero. There were 52,000 people unvaccinated. Do you know how many people died? Six. That works out to 0.08%, less than the flu. That's under age 50. Over age 50, it was about half as many people died as were dying last year. So the Delta variant is more transmissible but less deadly. But if you say that, Facebook will take you down. They'll chastise you, take away your birthday, and say you're spreading mistruth. But it's absolutely factual. The Delta variant is more transmissible but far less deadly than the virus from last year.
It's all true, Clay. And I also, just on his point about Facebook and the social media platforms, I used to think that the dumbest people in media worked for Media Matters. But I actually would go beyond that now, because Media Matters, for those who don't know, is an organization that listens to shows like this one and then tries to, you know, get us canceled, get us in trouble, whatever, lie about what we say. Fact checkers for the social media companies, especially around COVID, they're actually the dumbest people who work in media in any capacity.
Well, the funniest thing, sadly, about the fact checkers at these social media sites is they're now going to be fact checking and having to correct so many of the factual statements, which are accurate, but went against the prevailing narrative. And so the idea that the Delta variant could be spread even by vaccinated people and that there were breakthrough cases, you weren't allowed to talk about, even though the data reflected that. Now, I just want to say, as we roll into the weekend, go have an incredible time. Have some beers. Kick back. Don't lose your mind. Don't wear a mask everywhere. Okay. If you're over 65, like I just had a guy email me. I don't think we should be in the business of giving direct advice, but I had a guy email me, one of our listeners. I'm 63. What's the bottom line? Would you get the shot or not if you're me? I probably would.
Yeah, I would.
If you're 63 years old. I mean, I think that's rational. Look at the data advice, not us giving medical advice, but look at the data. And what we told our parents: get the COVID vaccine, right? Our parents both around over 70. The data is clear, right?
I mean, think of it this way. How many times, Clay, in the last 10 years have you gotten a flu shot? I'm guessing few, if any. I mean, I don't know. You could tell me. I think I got convinced to do it once. I happened to be at the doctor's office for something else. They're like, oh, like, you know, here we go. Nothing going, nothing. To see. Boop, just like put it in my arm. I was like, ah, okay. So I think I've maybe gotten one flu shot in 10 years. I've had the flu at least twice in the last 10 years. So, you know, for a lot of people, I mean, they start to think about this in the same way they thought in the past about the risk reward of something like that. And if I were 65 or if I were in my 60s, I'd be much more inclined to get the flu shot every year. It's similar in that respect.
Yeah, we used to do back in the day, they wanted to encourage people to get flu shots. So I would get a flu shot live on the radio when we did our sports talk show. And honestly, I think that's the way you have to think about COVID going forward. And that's even what the Washington Post, New York Times, and the CDC officials are saying now. For a long time, they sold us, Buck, on the idea of COVID zero. And in fact, if you think things are crazy here, you need to look at what's going on in Australia. They are calling out the military to make sure that people in Sydney do not leave their homes. I mean, they are still staying prescribed to the idea of COVID zero all over Australia and all over New Zealand. It's not a rational way that adults should be responding to COVID. I think the fact that we have a Republican Party in this country, because if the Democrats had their way, I really do think they would have ordered out the military, ordered lockdowns, and had people patrolling neighborhoods to make sure people weren't leaving. I don't think that's a crazy idea at all. Without an opposition party, that's where the Democratic authoritarianism as it pertains to COVID would have led.
It's also amazing as you see how the incidents on airplanes, there's some crazy number of increase of violent incidences on airplanes, and it's almost all mask related, right? Because you put people in a close quarters. Already, I mean, I always say that air travel, commercial air travel, is the closest thing that you can get in America to a totalitarian Soviet system, in the sense that you're doing things you know are stupid, you do exactly what they say, you're uncomfortable, and, you know, nothing works the way you really want it to, other than, you know, hopefully the plane lands and you're fine, which it is very safe, I will say, commercial air travel. But, you know, for a lot of people, they just, after a while, with the elevated stress and everything else, you have these mask. Look, I saw one myself. You have these mask freakouts that happen on airplanes. But I kind of understand it from people, too. I mean, it's uncomfortable, and it doesn't make any sense. And we will not bend the knee on this again. Normalize being normal. That's my advice for all of you over the weekend. And, you know, Clay, I got other advice, too, from customers out there who have already tried Relief Factor. They're saying, if you have any pain or if you need any help in recovery from daily chores, tasks, even working out, Relief Factor is for you. Diane in California says that within 4 days of taking Relief Factor, she went from staying in a chair in misery to being out walking 4 to 5 miles a day. Diane says she's now able to keep her walking routine without pain. She is so happy she tried Relief Factor. I just talked to my dad last night. He's got his new supply of Relief Factor going. He's going through it day in and day out. He absolutely loves it. Big help for the day-to-day aches and pains, but also he's got a muscle pull from his golf game, so he's taking that Relief Factor so he can get back out there on the course, Clay. I know you've had great results in your family, too.
My wife uses it. In fact, she just texted me right now. She is getting a hardcore workout while we're here doing the show, and then we're going to be running around all over Vegas for the entire weekend. She's in fantastic shape. Relief Factor is making her feel better than ever. 100% drug-free product created by doctors based on scientific research, and Relief Factor helps your body reduce pain, inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. It is the go-to source for fighting inflammation. And right now, you can join over 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. The $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference.
Final segment. I cannot believe it, Mr. Clay, of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, he's Clay, and we are both looking forward to weekends. We're both spending time with family. I've got my older brother in from Miami who, I got to tell you, he looks, now it's like every time I see my older brother who fled New York City during lockdowns and he comes back, it's like he stepped off the set of Miami Vice in, you know, like the late 80s or something. He's like 10. He's got a little, his hair is a little blonder. You know, he's just like, yeah, living the good life, you know, got some time at the beach, working remote, all this stuff. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, I can smell the garbage on the street from my window, even though I'm like, you know, hundreds of feet up. It's a different vibe here in New York City, Clay, but I get to see family this weekend, which I'm very excited about.
No, that's going to be great. You're also going to be able to talk with your brother about sports. He's going to be blown away by all the sports knowledge and Oklahoma.
Yeah, my brothers are my secret advisors here, so I can come and pretend in front of you and the rest of the country like I know something about professional sports. My older brother is super knowledgeable about the NBA and the NFL, I will say. He goes deep on them.
Well, we've got some excitement coming because the NFL players are all back into camps, but I do think COVID madness is going to impact, unfortunately, sports in a big way. We already got Lamar Jackson, who has tested positive for a second time for COVID. We've been trying to, you know, kind of send people. This is what I think our role is, and it's a big one. We have the biggest audience in radio, and our goal is for all of you out there to be the most sane people in an insane world. And if we have enough sane people who are pushing back against this ridiculous COVID authoritarianism, the hope is that we can get back to normalcy faster than we otherwise would, right? I mean, that's what we're trying to do.
We're like the village that forms in every zombie apocalypse movie where they start like growing crops and they start putting the kids back into school and people can start to have normal lives. And, you know, the Biden administration is like the new strain of the zombies that's trying to come over the gates. But no, guys, you come in here with us, we're good. Also, we're not going to, like, the governor or whatever, get all crazy and totalitarian on you, we promise. The Clay and Buck Show is a liberal democracy for the mind.
We believe in freedom. We believe in your ability to hear facts and make rational decisions for you and your family. And increasingly, that is a minority opinion. But I think there are, every time this COVID authoritarianism rears its ugly head, more people join our camp, Buck. I really think when you hear the Surgeon General of the United States say that if you are vaccinated, but you want to be as safe as possible, it's good advice to be wearing masks inside of your own home to protect your children from a virus that has zero danger to them. That's madness, right? That's not what sane adults are doing. And slowly, it's like the wool is getting pulled back from people's eyes and they're looking around and saying there's no logical consistency. The data doesn't reflect that we are doing what we should be doing.
I keep telling different Democrats that I know, you know, hey, because they're saying, how did you, you know, these are friends of mine, people I know socially, right, or through, you know, through family friends or whatever. And they'll say, hey, how did you know about Fauci, man? Like, they're starting to, they're like, how did you know they were going to, because also, as I know you have made predictions at different times. The one that I totally nailed was the double masking phenomenon, which that was like 4 or 5 months in advance. I was like, you wait, it's going to happen. But at different stages, when you understand the mentality of the left, you have a sense of where it's going, what its momentum is. And then beyond that, there's also just the feeling of peace that we all have, Clay. When you speak the truth, as you really know it and see it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how angry the crazy lockdown libs, doesn't matter how angry the anti-insurrectionist or whoever it is, because, you know, you sleep well at night. You feel good about what you're doing and saying. And I know the people that listen to us, it's the same thing. They know that they're living in reality and with the truth and with principle every day. And it keeps you warm like a blanket at night.
And also, my wife says, is the reason why I don't need therapy. Because I do know there's a lot of people angry out there that feel like they don't have a voice. And we have an incredible privilege every day to talk to the biggest audience in radio, you guys, and share the truth with you. And we don't take that for granted, but we also know that we are speaking for a lot of people out there that are employed at places where they can't say what they really think. We want you to know, as we roll into this Friday, I'm headed to the gambling tables out here in Vegas. Hopefully I'll win some money, even if my wife disagrees with every move that I make while sitting at the table. We want you to know that you are sane, and that you should go live your life as you ordinarily would and not allow the COVID insanity, the fear porn, to terrify you.
Go jump into a pool, find a lake, fly an American flag, eat some delicious charred meat, spend time with friends, family, loved ones, celebrate this great country we have, and get ready for the fight once again back on Monday here on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Talk to you all in a few days.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.